When Pastor asked me to, if I'd be interested in speaking, I thought to myself, what? Can't you find anybody else? And was I concerned about speaking or what I was going to say or what I was not going to say? And that would be a big yes. The things I thought about it, and I told them what I think about it and I pray about it. And always in the back of my mind, I knew that I needed to trust God. So I told him yes. Or I kind of looked at him and said, okay, I'll do it. It's been almost 2 months ago that we witnessed a wedding, Jacob and Amy, who normally sit down here, but now we're back here for some reason. But in the past 6 months before that, I spent some time counseling them, and you all did too by your words and actions, and I think we need to remember that. They asked me to be the best man, and I was happy and proud of that in a good way. And since I had been a best man before, I had written a speech for the reception. Well, I had not known, I think I went to went to Ashley. I said, well, when are we going to have the speeches? And she says, well, there's not going to be any speeches. And I thought, oh, I said, okay. Which is fine, it was their wedding. Of course, I had spent hours, you know, working on my speech. So it was no big deal. So I was never able to give the speech. So when Pastor asked me about speaking today, I thought I'd have the microphone. I could give the speech. And I thought, man, that was really smart of me. That was really brilliant. So I'm going to give a small version of it. And I want to let you know that I asked permission from Jacob and Amy. The things I did not let them read what I was going to say, but I asked for their permission. So here it goes. I wanted to thank Jacob and Amy for including me in their wedding ceremony. It is a very special honor. I've known both of them for many years. They've been very caring, and I've enjoyed being friends with them all these years. Jacob has been a friend, and he's been a coworker, and I consider him a brother. At work, Jacob would tell me about different ideas that he had when they first started to date. And during a wedding ceremony, we all think of the past and the future and what advice to give to the bride and groom. One thinks of love and commitment and trust, them spending time together, being honest with one another, and sharing with one another. Of compromise, the need to be compromised, being patient, of listening and communicating with one another. These are all good ideas. What advice would you give to them? Well, here's a few I thought for Jacob. Number one, get in the habit of picking up your dirty socks. Number two, no playing video games at 3 o'clock in the morning. Number three, brush your teeth 2 or 3 times a day, especially after meals. Sounds like something a mother would say, wouldn't it? Number four, and since you work in information technology, don't talk about computer networks, like routers, wireless routers, bandwidth, bit, cache, cookies, domain, gateways, megabyte, megahertz, packets, bits, bit pattern, bit rate, bitmap, all the time with Amy. She knows you're smart, so don't have to keep talking about it. So these are funny and important in a way, but I believe the most important and number one piece of advice that I could give to you and Amy is love your God with all your heart. Remember to believe and trust the Lord Jesus Christ and keep him in the forefront of your life. It is important to remember this when things are good and when things are bad. So that's a portion of it. It's now Amy, I know, doesn't have to be embarrassed on anything else I'm going to say, so you're good. We're going to look at Matthew 22 in a minute. If you'd like to write it down or open up your Bibles to that scripture. And also, it's my time here, we're going to look at a couple other chapters. We're going to look at Psalm 27 and John 16. So it'll be Matthew 22, Psalm 27, and John 16. When we think about advice, the Oxford Dictionary defines advice as guidance or recommendations offered with regard to prudent future action. We think about it, advice is everywhere, isn't it? We've got the media, we've got people telling us what to buy, what jobs are going to be popular in 10 years, what stocks are going to give you the best return with your money. We are inundated with advice on a daily basis. I read that if you did a Google search of how to be happy, one would get more than 6.7 billion results. 6.7 of how to be happy. The word advice has many synonyms, but they are guidance, direction, instruction. It's important where we get our information, isn't it? Who can we trust? I like the word counsel over advice. Advice is given or stated, but counsel for biblical counseling is walking with somebody. As John Henderson states, it is the process of encouraging sanctification, bearing with the suffering of others, and applying the truth of God's word in a careful way. That is why I enjoy biblical counseling so much. It's all truth coming from the Bible, and it's all pointed to Jesus. We can't go wrong with that, can we? Let's get our Bibles out and turn to Matthew 22, 34 to 40. And I'll start at verse 34. It says, when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. And one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. He asked, Teacher, what is the great commandment in the law? And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. So why would I give this advice to someone that is in love and on their wedding day? What would be the best advice that you could give them? What advice would you give someone in times of struggle or temptation? And it wouldn't be just somebody on their wedding day, would it? What about the times when you have that ache in your gut and you don't know where to turn? Or when a person cries themselves to sleep at night or believe that they are not loved anymore? What advice do you share with others or advice do you give to yourself on a daily basis? At weddings, anniversaries, or on birthdays, when one turns 5 years old, sweet 16, 30, 50, 65, 80, or maybe 29 again. A new year, maybe this time of year when school starts, and graduations, or for example, when the seasons change. It seems like this time of year in September when school starts, I'm not in school anymore, but I still get apprehensive. I still think that maybe it started back when I was younger. But this time of year, I always think about, oh, I got to go back to school, or I have to wake up earlier. I'm going to miss a class. Or maybe it's the summer's almost over, and cold winter will be here before you know it. it may seem funny, but we all have times in our life where we get apprehensive. We want the best for our spouse, our children, our parents, other family members and friends. As we look, as we think about it, everyone is getting older. We're getting older. We think of our family members and want the best for them, for our parents, for our kids. You probably realize that members of families don't live nearby anymore. In 2012, a study was done where families of parents of 50-plus years of age were polled. 40% of their children lived more than 5 hours driving distance from them. Of grandparents, 44% of their grandchildren live more than 5 hours away. Families are more spread out today, and since 2012, it's probably increased. And because of that, it talked about that the dissatisfaction of the relationship between the two, the thing is, it increases with distance. So it's kind of sad. And things, what are we doing about it? I know that we've thought about that. Other thing, we can talk to ourselves, can't we? Every day and every minute we're talking or thinking to ourselves each day. Is it, I'm not good enough? Or is it, I've done so many bad things in my past that no one will ever forgive me, even God? So I wanted to remind Jacob and Amy to love God with all their hearts. It is something that Jacob and Amy have heard hundreds or thousands of times. But I wanted them to remind them even during their special day. It's something that we've heard before, isn't it? So how do we do this and what does it look like? So remember, prior to these verses in Matthew that we just read, Jesus was teaching in the temple. The chief priests and elders were questioning him. And the thing is, he would answer in parables. And the crowds were so big that the Pharisees didn't want to arrest him at that time because they were afraid of the crowds. But they kept asking questions to stump him or to try to change the crowd's mind about Jesus. And can you imagine being there, the chief priests and the Sadducees and the others running around amongst themselves, questioning themselves, throwing their arms in the air? When will we find something to stump him? When can we find something to arrest him? And the thing is, many of these groups were not even friends amongst themselves. So in verse 15, it says, when the Pharisees went and plotted to entangle him in his words. In verse 22, it says, after Jesus' answer, when they heard it, they marveled and they left him and went away. Verse 23, the same day the Sadducees came to him and they asked him a question. After Jesus' answer in verse 33, when the crowd heard it, they were astonished at his teaching. In verse 34, but when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. One asked another question. After Jesus' answer and his question back to them in verse 46, and no one was able to answer him a word, nor from that day did anyone dare to ask him any questions. He had the answers, didn't he? He was Jesus. Of course he had the answers. He had the answers for the Pharisees, for the chief priests, the kings, and he has answers for each one of us, doesn't he? But Jesus kept it simple enough with his answer on what is the greatest commandment. The answer of love the Lord your God. Of course, if one loves, then there is obedience and to service to them. So why is it hard? And this is something that we tend to forget when life gets busy and life happens, doesn't it? So why is that? Why is it so hard to love God with all of our heart, soul, and mind? Here's a few reasons that it's difficult sometimes. Number one, I think that we forget of who God is and his promises. We need to remind ourselves of the attributes of God and the promises that he has given us, that he has in the Bible. We only have a time to check out a few, but you can always check out more on your own. And a good idea is to write a few on an index card, put them in the car, put them in front of the mirror in the bathroom, to remind yourself of who God is. Some attributes of God. He is all-knowing. In Proverbs 15:3, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch on the evil and the good. He is all powerful. Psalm 33:6, by the word of the Lord the heavens were made, and by the breath of his mouth all their host. He isn't present everywhere. The things we probably all memorized or recognize in Psalm 23. He is true. He never changes. James 1:17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. He is love. 1 John 4:7-9. It said, beloved, let us love one another. The love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was more manifest among us, that God sent his only Son in the world so we might live through him. Another one, he is good, he is sovereign and complete control. So a few promises. Deuteronomy 31:8. It is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed. Joshua 1:9. It's one of my favorite verses. I know it's Gary's too. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. We should be loving God more and more because of who he is and what he's done for us. So that was number one. Number two is we try to solve our problems ourselves, don't we? On our own way. Or our own way. And then our ABF classes before the Sunday service, the book of Genesis, we've been going through there. Discusses how God created the world and created man and woman. We see what happens when man disobeys God. Adam went another direction, didn't he? He didn't follow God. He went his own way. God made us, designed us to worship him. If we begin to worship something else, then our life is out of balance. When out of balance, problems begin, don't they? There's miscommunication. There's evil. There's mistrust. There's confusion. There's sin. So we don't include God in our decisions or our daily life. That was number two. Number three, we are afraid and we don't trust God. We think we have to solve it all on our own, don't we? We do it ourselves. We think that God can't do it. Which I think we need to look back at number one of who God is. We worry, and worry is motivated by fear. And this is sin of not trusting God in the situation. And sometimes I think we forget that when we fear, we worry, that is sin. And we need to turn from that. We need to remember what our foundation is. Is it Christ or something else? We all know the verse Matthew 7:24-27, where it talks about what's your foundation? Is it on the rock or is it on the sand? Is it on God or something else? Everyone who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house. But it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat against that house and it fell. And great was the fall of it. So in both situations, we know that the winds blew and the rain fell and the floods came in both circumstances. One fell, one didn't. So what is our foundation built on? It can affect our whole life, can't it? It can affect our relationships. It can affect our health. So when you feel fear, replace those thoughts with what God has said. Remember a couple of these verses. Isaiah 41:10. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Psalm 56:3, when I am afraid, I put my trust in you. I know I've gone through those pretty quick, and there are so many more. But many times we've formed bad habits of how we think. So, and the thing is, counseling can help a person see what is written in the Bible, see how we're thinking, and help them form good habits of thinking like Christ. As I've had the opportunity to counsel people, and as well as myself, it's easy to see how those bad habits, they start. They start with something, and our thinking goes a different direction. It's not thinking like how Christ would. It's not reading the Bible, looking at what Christ has done, and how much He loves us. So we've looked at what can happen, or why we think that way. But what can it look like when we love God with all of our heart? And the thing is, there's so many reasons. There's so many reasons that we'll never know until we get to heaven. But I think one is we don't trust, or that instead of not trusting, the thing is we trust and believe Him more. And we don't spend time and energy in worrying and being fearful of what the future holds or what today holds. Those feelings and choices turn to trust. We believe it every day, and it gives us confidence. In Psalm 9:9-10, the Lord is a stronghold for the oppressed. And we're going to see that word again, stronghold. A stronghold in times of trouble. And those who know your name put their trust in you. For you, O Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. So number one is we trust and believe in Him. Number two, we confide in Him more. And I think we pray more. Our prayer life is different. We pray to God with more detail. We're more specific and we're more honest. We're more thankful and seek God in our daily life. In a minute, we're going to read Psalm 27. And I want you to think, or maybe with a pen, underline, or pencil. And the thing is, look at the detail from David and how he speaks to God. This is one of my favorite chapters. So Psalm 27, verse 1, says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evildoers assail me to eat up my flesh, my adversaries and foes, it is they who stumble and fall. Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. But though war arise against me, yet I will be confident. One thing I have asked of the Lord that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. For He will hide me in His shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of His tent. He will lift me high upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me, and I will offer in His tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud. Be gracious to me and answer me. You have said, 'Seek my face.' My heart says to you, 'Your face, Lord, do I seek.' Hide not your face from me. Turn not your servant away in anger, or you who have been my help. Cast me not off, forsake me not, O God of my salvation. For my father and my mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me in. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me on a level path. Because of my enemies, give me not up to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and they breathe out violence. I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord, be strong, and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord." So some of the words I underline in there The word's a stronghold. My heart shall not fear. Confidence. Dwell in the house of the Lord. There's protection. Shouts of joy instead of fear. Be strong. Wait for the Lord. And in here you can see so many things. There's the things you've got David, and you've got people coming to attack him. And of course he's going to be afraid, but how is he going to use that fear? He's going to turn to God, and the thing is he's going to trust God in the situation. And the thing is he's looking after the Lord. One thing I've asked of the Lord, he's asked the Lord. And he'll be, in the verse here, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord. The thing is, he knows who God is. And that's some of the attributes and promises that we need to remember about God. And the thing is, he's going to seek the Lord's face. He's going to turn to how he's thinking or what a human would think, and he's going to turn to God. So through that, you can tell the relationship that David had with God. So we need to confide in God more because we love him. Okay, so number one is we trust and believe in him. Number two is we confide in him more. Our prayer life is different. Our relationship with God is different. Number three, we see him working in our life and others' lives. I think this is one of the things that I think we fail to look at. We are aware of Jesus in our life on a daily basis. We understand what situations he's putting us through. We're not afraid. We're trusting him. And we don't think of just ourselves anymore. We think of God and we think of others. We see God in our situations of who is God. And that's one of the great questions that I always think about. If something happens or I'm maybe afraid, or maybe something I should be afraid of, I think, who is God? Is he stronger than I am? He knows everything of what's going on. He knows what tomorrow is going to bring. The thing is, why should I be afraid of that? And the thing is, it's kind of it's habit forming. You have to keep realizing that God is in the situation. And I think by loving him more, I think we tend to do that. When we see God working in our life and problems and successes. So number four, we love others more and we tell them more about Jesus. We love others more, tell them about Jesus. Since God is love and we have God in our life, we should treat people differently. We should show grace like God has shown us. And we should speak the truth like God speaks to us. When you love God, you will love your spouse, children, family, and others more. In John 15:11, it says, "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full." And I think if we love God more, the thing is that joy is going to be more in us, because it's going to come from him. It's also difficult sometimes loving people when you're doing it all by yourself, isn't it? Because since we're human, it's hard to do. It's hard to love the person that annoys you, the person that is an enemy of yours. In Luke 6:27-28, it talks about, and I think we need to ask, is it possible to love your enemies? It's tough, but if we love Jesus and do what he says, we need to look at it. So verse 27, "But I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you." And it wouldn't be in the Bible, he wouldn't have inspired that to be said if it wasn't possible. So I think we need to look at him. And the fifth one I have down here is we have peace. And I'm going to talk about this in a few minutes. I'm going to maybe talk a few more minutes on this. because I think that with all the wars, all the relationship issues, everything going on, I think that we think peace is way out there, and we can't have it. We can't have it in our heart. And things we talk about biblical peace in Hebrew, it's defined as a notion of totality or completeness, wholeness, harmony, security, and well-being. And when I thought about what type of advice or counsel to give Jacob and Amy, that was the first thing I was thinking about, is for them to have peace in their life, not just today, but in their future. And that peace will happen when there's problems, when there's struggles, when there's people attacking them, when there's death, when there's all things going on. You can still have peace. So back to Matthew 22:37. So why is this verse important for you and me? You may say, well, I've heard this verse all my life. It is something you just do or you try to do. It's something that's out there that you maybe put in a checklist just today. But the problem is it should be something that's in you. It should be of loving God with everything you have every minute of the day. And the understanding that this will bring contentment and peace. I've seen that loving God and having Him first in your life, it does bring peace. So can I have peace? Is it possible? Toward the end of Jesus' teaching, toward the end of His time on earth, before His death and resurrection, He shares with the disciples. This is where we're going to get to John 16. So with the counsel of loving God with all your heart, this verse and theme that we've talked about, it carries us to John 16:31-33. John 16:31-33. This inner peace can only come from Jesus. It's not in alcohol, it's not in friends, it's not in worldly love, it's not in sin or vices or thoughts. Because the thing is, have been a lot of people that have gone that direction. And even they at some point say, I'm not happy, I don't have peace. And if they're saying that, we don't even, you know, we should know that. We don't even, we shouldn't, we should trust Jesus first. So John, I'm going to read John 16:33 first. I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace. So peace is possible. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart. I have overcome the world. So we're going to go back to the 31. So Jesus answered them, do you now believe? Behold, the hour is coming. Indeed, it has come when you will be scattered, each to his own home, and will leave me alone. Yet I am not alone, for the Father is with me. I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. But take heart, I have overcome the world. I'm going to talk about there about how when I leave, you're going to be scattered. You know, I thought about going back to that poll about how our families are scattered throughout. And it's a good promise that God is everywhere. And then the thing is, He loves their family members wherever they are. The thing is, He loved the disciples when they were scattered. And we have to remember that only Jesus that you have that peace. So peace is the result of God's presence in a person's life, as God is the source of peace. In Psalm 85:8, let me hear what God the Lord will speak, for He will speak peace to His people, to His saints. But let them not turn back to folly. So what does peace look like? When in your life, have you had peace? Can you think of some examples? Lasting peace that uplifted you so much that it could have only come from God. maybe when you accepted Jesus, you believed on Him. You turned from going a sinful way and you've turned to believe in Christ. Or maybe you can think of other times. I can tell you one time that I had that peace. And things in the world's eyes, you know, they'll think I'm crazy. But things, I had inner peace when I walked out of the hospital after seeing my dad pass away from cancer. And my dad is in heaven today. But my mom, brother, and sisters were at his bedside when we told him it was okay. It was going to be okay that we'd see him again. And things, we said our goodbyes for now. After seeing him take his last breath, be in the midst of family, walking outside of the car, the sun was above and it was shining. The thing is, there was peace that struck me. It was soothing peace that washed over me. That is a peace that only could come from God. Weeks before, I had asked God to be with my family during this time. I was the oldest of 38 with three of my sisters and one brother, the youngest being 23. We had never went through that before in our life. There were people that, you know, might have said different things, but and until you go through that, it's tough. But it was comforting that we didn't have to go through that alone. Death occurred, but we need to remember that God is greater than death. He has overcome death and the world. So things, many times that we can see peace going through a problem or struggle, but we have to remember that peace can happen throughout. It's linked with loving others. In 2 Corinthians 13:11, it says, "Finally, brothers, rejoice, aim for restoration, comfort one another, agree with one another, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you." I read a quote from Billy Graham. He said, a peace that is spoken of in the Bible is a peace of God. Everyone who knows the Lord Jesus Christ can go through any problem, face death, and still have the peace of God in his or her heart. When your spouse dies, or your children get sick, or you lose your job, you can have a peace that you don't understand. You may have tears at a graveside, but you can have an abiding peace, a quietness. A psychiatrist was quoted in the newspaper saying that he could not improve the Apostle Paul's prescription for human worry. Paul said in Philippians 4:6-7, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." And that peace, you know, for example, I said that in my situation, it was a peace that the world would not understand. And it's hard for me to understand. It's hard for anyone to understand. But as long as there's God, and God says that it's possible, we just have to guard our hearts and minds through Christ. So he said, "Be anxious for nothing." How many times do you fret and turn looking for a little peace? God's peace can be in your heart right now. So that was a quote. In the last year, I've had many things happen in my life. Things I've had, job issues, had health issues, had relationship issues. Who was number one in my life during this time? Who did I love more? And I'm sorry to say it wasn't God all the time. He wasn't number one in my life through that whole time. And because of that, it affected so many areas of my life. But I've confessed and I've things I've realized of who to put my trust on. And it's something that I've known. I've known all my life, but it's something that every situation you need to keep reminding yourself of who God is. Also, we have responsibility in this, don't we? And we think about back in Genesis, in the garden, did God do everything for Adam? No, Adam was given some responsibility. He tended the garden. He named the animals and birds. I think his work was good. And just as spoken of my issues last year, I had a responsibility in what I ate, how I treated people in my relationships, and how I worked on my job or how I looked for a job. So things as we wrap up, my title of my message was Advice for Yesterday, Today, and Tomorrow. So how does loving God look like when we think of yesterday? Well, if we love God more today and we look on our past, how does that look? Well, sometimes in our past, we see things that we've done that have been wrong. And the thing is, a lot of times it's easy to dwell on those things. But you need to remember who God is, that if you ask forgiveness, he will take that pain and take that loss away. Who are you trusting in? Can I face the issue? The thing is, God will forgive you if you ask. So what about today? If you love God today, now's the time to put your trust in Jesus if you've never done so. When you have troubles, turn to God. Enjoy the ride He has for you. The things we need to live for Him and trust Him. What about tomorrow? If we love God more today, what about tomorrow? Well, there's times and troubles and tribulations and other things that's going to happen, but if we love God now, it's going to help us, you know, to love God then. We can trust Him. In Micah 5:4, the first part of 5, it says, "And he shall stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the midst of the name of the Lord his God. And they shall dwell secure, for now he shall be great to the ends of the earth, and he shall be their peace." So things, when we look at heaven, you know, that's going to be the obviously there's going to be peace there. So Revelation 21:33-4, "And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away." It's something to look forward to, isn't it? So applications, just a few. Have you put your trust in Jesus? He's the number one person in your life. I think we need to keep learning about God, about who God is. Do you have an example in your life of peace? When have you had a time that you trusted God during a difficult time? I think this is important to share with others what God is doing in your life, of how you trusted Him. So don't be afraid to sharing those instances in the morning with the ABF times on Sunday mornings or other times. Look for examples of being thankful and sharing God with others. Look for examples of God's love in the things we're studying, the things that we looked in Genesis, of all the things there. Well, since God is love, each of those situations. How can that relate to our life today? Because it can. Another one is memorize some of the verses we've talked about today and keep reminding yourself who the true God is. Another thing we need to remember to counsel ourselves and others, walking with them, sharing with them Christ in our life. And just as I've told Amy and Jacob to keep God number one in their life, I pray that you will do as well. So let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for the time. Thank you for helping me through this this message. I just pray that we can reflect in days ahead of how that you are there for us and that you love us. We should not be afraid of things or worry about the future. You are here and you're in our life right now. I just pray that we pray to you in more detail and be specific on things that are going on in our life. Share with others of how you're handling our situations and being with us. Help us take responsibility for the things that we need to do. And thank you for giving us this text of the Bible that we can look at. And I just thank you for this day and thank you for all the people here. In Jesus' name, amen.